Shabbat Shalom. And Chag Sameach. Oh, I love this holiday. It's so great. Oh, you like the title slide, huh? You can't take it with you. The reason this picture looks a little odd is because you never actually will see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. So they sort of had to smash two pictures together to make it look like that. It was during Sukkot 23 years ago, it was right about this hour, that Alexandra and I sat at a desk with a mortgage banker and another couple signing the paperwork to close on our home. We thought it was really cool and God ordained even that we were able to go right from that meeting where we obtained our keys, so we came with keys in hand, to join with our Shema family in building and decorating the sukkah, another temporary home. I say another temporary home because though a house is vastly more durable than a sukkah, it is nevertheless temporary. Houses don't last forever. And, you know, you can't take it with you when you die. Besides, for those of us who love Yeshua, we don't need it where we are going. Amen? We don't need bricks and mortar. So I find it a little ironic that the day after tomorrow, once again during Sukkot week, Alexandra and I are having the roof replaced. Because while we're supposed to be able to see the stars in the sky through the roof of our sukkah, we sure don't want to see the sky through holes in our roof. If the roof on a house fails, water damage can quickly destroy the rest of the house. So for us, it is a matter of good stewardship. But I feel like I'm having to buy a Jaguar. And I don't get the Jaguar. But as I said, it's temporary, as is everything else in this world. An important and wonderful lesson that we learn at Sukkot, the holiday of booths or tabernacles. During Sukkot, we remember. If you're taking notes, I'm going to alliterate with three R's. The first is remember. During Sukkot, we remember the tents, the booths, which our people lived in while we sojourned in the Sinai. Don't laugh. That's my sukkah for this year. And Alexander and I were out there in the evening last night singing songs, and we were scrunched. But Sinai wasn't our home. Those tents, like this thing, were portable, temporary shelters. Here's what we read in Leviticus. On exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with a rest on the first day and a rest on the eighth day. Now, on the first day, you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths for 7 days, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. God intended Sukkot to help us remember and, as a result, to be appreciative. Isn't it like us to be momentarily thankful but perennially forgetful? It is a very short distance from ingratitude to outright egotism and greediness. Very short distance. By dwelling in the sukkah for a week, we remember how God delivered us from slavery in Egypt, and he preserved our lives in the wilderness for a generation. and brought us into the land that he promised our people through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But did you notice what God didn't tell us? He didn't tell us to make ugly little huts for ourselves. We are to decorate it with beautiful foliage. His purpose for Sukkot was not that we be miserable, but that we rejoice and have a great time. I'm really glad that there's a lot of us here today. We're going to have a great time. And I can think of a lot worse things than a week-long festival replete with singing and dancing, a lovely decorated booth, and recounting the mighty acts of God, not to mention a lamb roast. Well, today we get chicken. Like much of life, the sukkah is meant to be a pleasant but temporary thing. And it's God's way for us to remember and consequently to be grateful. And during Sukkot, we are meant to reflect. That's the second R. We are meant to reflect on the temporariness of these bodies and this life. The very nature of a sukkah tells us something of God's intent for the festival. The booth goes up quickly, and it comes down quickly, and only remains in place for a matter of days. I believe God wants us to see the holiday of booths or tabernacles as an opportunity to reflect. We should reflect on the fact that these bodies of ours are like the sukkah. They're meant only to be temporary dwellings, as our knees, hips, and backs frequently remind us. And certainly we ought to, you know, take good and thoughtful care of them, since they are, after all, a stewardship given us by God. But don't be overly preoccupied with that which shall soon pass. That, by the way, both of those pictures are of Steve Reeves, okay? Don't be overly preoccupied with that which will soon pass, and give way to something so much better, something immortal. Even this world is destined to pass away. God has told us through his word that he will create new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. So while we should practice good stewardship even of the world, it isn't where we should invest the bulk of our energies and attention. And if the world is destined to pass away, how much more the things in the world? They are even more transitory. Be sure that you aren't owned by the things you think you own, which really are on loan to you. You will leave them behind as well. Sukkot, the holiday of tabernacles, with its emphasis on what is temporary, should cause us to reflect on our priorities. Where are your fat portions being used? Now, for those who aren't aware already, that's my little acronym, FAT, your finances, your abilities, and your time. Where are the fat portions being used? Are your priorities directed heavenward, or is it all dedicated primarily to earthly endeavors? And it isn't wrong to, please don't misunderstand. There's nothing inherently wrong with pursuing happiness. It isn't wrong to have things or to have wealth. It is in the stewardship of your resources that your priorities are revealed. Are you generous or are you stingy? Do you have a good eye or an evil eye? I believe God intended Sukkot to remind us that this world and the things in it are destined to pass away, and that we not place too much stock in it. Scripture has so much to say concerning the brevity of life. You know, I'm really sad that Rabbi Jerry can't be here today, because I know he was really looking forward to talking about Sukkot. But you know, his favorite psalm is Psalm 90. And in Psalm 90, Moses tells us how fleeting life is, right? We're like a breath, and and our life is over, and we fly away. And so the prayer is, Lord, teach us to have to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Scripture has a lot to say about the brevity of this life, the soon return of Messiah Yeshua to earth, and what our perspective ought to be in light of these facts. These are immovable facts. Rabbi Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth, reminding them, this world is passing away. Now, the third reason God commanded us to celebrate Sukkot, I'm not suggesting there are only three reasons. These are the three I'm talking about this morning. The three R's: remember, reflect, and rejoice. During Sukkot, we rejoice. We rejoice on the infinitely greater things and the greater home that awaits us. The third reason God commanded us to celebrate Sukkot is because through its observance, we look ahead. We anticipate the glorious future awaiting God's people. We await with joy the world to come, when God will build his great sukkah, his tabernacle, in our very midst. And of course, even the 1,000 years of Yeshua's reign on earth will be characterized by joy, and he will be in our midst, and the nations will stream to Jerusalem and celebrate Sukkot with us. If you don't believe me, just look at Zechariah chapter 14. All the nations are going to come celebrate the holiday of tabernacles in Jerusalem, or they don't get any rain. Hey, not me. God spoke through Zechariah. All right. But Sukkot causes us to look even further ahead, anticipating the unimaginable joy in eternity when God and mankind will dwell together. Listen and rejoice at the words John wrote about God's sukkah. In Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Taking care of the things we have is wise, but grasping them tenaciously is pointless. And we are in danger of becoming tight-fisted and cold-hearted toward those around us, or, as I said, what the Bible calls having an evil eye. If everything we have here is temporary, let's be a generous and gracious people. It will please God, and kindness on our part is the very kind of thing God will use to draw others to himself. I want to share with you these words from Colossians 3, and after which I'll have just a few more comments. Colossians chapter 3, if then you have been raised with Messiah, seek the things that are above, where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We have such an amazing future ahead of us, which, by the way, makes the momentary insanity of these days in which we live a lot more bearable. Rabbi Jerry was going to talk to us about the idea that at Sukkot, there is this beautiful theme of unity, of coming together and being one in Messiah. And I'll just share a few thoughts on that, because I feel like Rabbi Jerry is right. It's a really important theme. Psalm 117, which earlier we read together. Praise the Lord, all nations, right? Extol him, all peoples, right in the midst of the Hallel is a summons to the whole world, an invitation. Come celebrate the Lord with us. And of course, it goes back a long way before that, all the way back in Genesis chapter 9, Noah prophesied concerning his sons, and one of his prophecies went this way. May God enlarge Japheth, and Japheth represents most of the nations of the world. May God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem. He did not say, let Shem dwell in the tents of Japheth, but let Japheth dwell in the tents of Shem. The idea that through Israel, through God's special people, the whole world one day will dwell together in that tent as one. And of course, this is reflected in the fact that during the week of Sukkot in antiquity, when the temple still stood, there were 70 sacrifices offered across those days. 70 sacrifices, because it was held at that time that there were 70 nations in the world. And so Sukkot has a theme of our unity in the Lord, coming together as one. So I just wanted to share those thoughts with you as well. We have an opportunity today, in a very real sense, to show forth that unity to the world. Our sukkah is not in here, it's out there. And our oneg will not be in here, it'll be out there. And here we are, people from every conceivable background worshiping the Lord together, celebrating him together, and it's just a little foretaste of the greater things to come. Rabbi Lauren.